the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Crassey, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. Today's episode is also brought to you by Bet America. Right now, they're running a promotion for current players where if you place a bet of $5 or more, you'll receive $20 in free bets. All you've got to do is opt into the promotion. Eligibility and restrictions apply. See the website for details. And joining me on today's show to talk about NFL Week 10 action is Sean Lockhart, sports betting consultant. But first, I have to continue mentioning the trend of road teams who are covering at over a 60% clip heading into the week, because this week they got absolutely crushed. How bad? Home teams went 11-1 straight up and against the spread. The only loser was the Giants on Monday Night Football. As a whole, underdogs went 7-6 on the week against the spread. What I take from this is I don't put too much stock into trends. I suggest not making them your sole narrative for why you make a bet. Sure, it can have a small factor, but they are more like sprinkles on a cake than anything. One thing that we saw this week was a ton of lopsided action not go in favor of the percentages. Remember how I always talk about the 80-20 rule when 80% of the action is on one side, you bet the other? No game exemplified this more than the Packers-Chargers, where everyone and their brother was on the Packers. Remember, there is no such thing as free money in sports betting. When everyone is on one side, over time, the 20% or less will win more times than not. That's why there are giant casinos in Vegas. And it's also why I continue to preach, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Quick recap of last week. The good, and we got lots of it. The Big Mick 7-team money line parlay hit.
I see they got the Big Mac.
Taking us to 5-1 on the season. But it was a major struggle as Notre Dame had to have a major backdoor cover just to get the win outright. Cincinnati had to kick a last-second field goal to beat ECU, and UCF was down 14-0 to Houston. I continue to enjoy playing and watching the Big Mick because you get a different relationship with the teams who are expected to win by the most. I was also all in on the Panthers' bounce back, and they rewarded me both as part of the Big Mick, as well as -4 versus the Titans.
The ceiling is the roof.
We'll be talking about the Panthers-Packers game in a bit, but as a glimpse into my betting process, I like to look for teams that either got blown out or blew out another team. This means that public perception is likely to be inflated, which to me is a potential opportunity. Week 2 of Pick a Loser was also a success. Scott hit his losing bet of the Redskins, and mine got voided because Case Keenum did not play. I ended up going with the Lions for the second consecutive week, which lost, so I won and took my record to 2-0. My six-point teaser of the Seahawks and Bears hit, albeit in very gross fashion. As for the bad, I was on the Giants +7 in Monday Night Football, which lost. I played it because of the number at home in a division matchup. The outcome didn't work, but I would play that bet again.
All right, you guys, let's listen up.
Ultimate Race is coming. On your marks. The fall 2019 Ultimate Race starts Monday, November 11th, with your chance to vie for $10,000 in cash and prizes, including a $5,000 grand prize and weekly prize packs. The rules are simple. Make a maximum of 4 picks each day, and the first person to reach 200 wins the race. Make sure to register now for Cover's most popular free-to-play contest, brought to you by our friends at BetAmerica.
The Room Dog, Jesse J.
Joining me to talk about NFL Week 10 action and to help you be a more informed bettor is Sean Lockhart, sports betting consultant. You can follow him on Twitter at TheRealPapaBear. Sean, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob. Let's jump into this.
And we're going to jam about three games first. Up first, we got the Packers laying 5 at home, taking on the Panthers. And the first thing that stood out to me right now is the potential bounce back for the Packers coming off just a terrible performance against the Chargers, a game in which pretty much everyone and their brother was on the Packers, and they laid a major egg. And on the flip side, the Panthers bounced back after their terrible performance versus the 49ers to win pretty comfortably, taking on the Titans. So I'm conflicted here because my head says, well, I would like the Panthers to bounce back, or my heart says the Packers will bounce back, but my head says I'd rather get 5 points.
It's a tough matchup. I totally understand, though, why Green Bay laid an egg last week. LaFleur had some travel problems. They got in late. They just sleptwalked through that game. So I'm comfortable throwing that game completely out. I don't mind the Packers here in a bounce-back spot. You get Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. Davante Adams is healthy again. I think that's a major factor. I understand why the line moved from 6 to 5, but it's hard not to back Aaron Rodgers at home, especially coming off a loss.
Yeah, one thing of note, the Packers defense has been giving up a lot of big plays this year, and they're relying on turnovers. The good news, Carolina's turned the ball over 13 times this year, 10th most in the NFL. On the flip side, if they're giving up big plays, you don't want to be going against Christian McCaffrey.
Could look at the over as well. If you're talking about defense, there might be a lot of points scored. The weather's not bad in Lambeau quite yet up there in Green Bay, so maybe look at the over too.
So I don't have a pick on this game yet. I would consider potentially teasing either side of this with our 6-point teaser. I was like, Packers +1 or Panthers +11. Not quite there yet, but that's where my mindset is.
Okay.
All right, moving on. We've got the Dallas Cowboys laying 3 at home, taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And for me, do I trust the Cowboys? And do I trust the Vikings? And I'm not sure if I'm there yet. And I feel like the Vikings are one of the most polarizing teams because of Kirk Cousins. It's like the start of the season, the Vikings are horrible. Kirk Cousins is the worst. And then they go on this huge run and everyone's like, the Vikings are the best. And then they don't win the Chiefs. And it's like, it's hard to ride that roller coaster of them. And the Cowboys, with what we saw in the first half against the Giants, was the polar opposite in the second half. So where do you land on this game?
I generally love betting against teams that played well on Monday Night Football. The whole market watched them play well last night against the Giants. So this would be a spot I'd love to bet against Dallas. However, I like what I'm seeing from Dak. The Cowboys also have they're sneaky good defense. Underrated defense, they're actually 6th overall in total defense. And as you mentioned, the Vikings with Kirk Cousins against good teams, that's a well-known storyline. Back-to-back road games. Dallas as a short favorite is definitely appealing to me at this moment.
Yeah, for me right now, I'm staying away. I would lean taking the points in this because I've been more bullish on the Vikings than most, as uncomfortable as that may be. All right, probably the matchup of the weekend, 49ers at home, laying 6, taking on Seattle. So the first thing I thought about it, is Seattle all of that? I had them as part of my 6-point teaser last week against Tampa, and it was not comfortable at all. I feel fortunate to have gotten away with that. Plus, the Seahawks defense, not all that. 22nd in DVOA on the 49ers. They're the second best defense in the NFL. But I'm also looking for the opportunity to say, where's the opportunity for the 49ers to come back to earth? Because they're good, but are they really this good?
I'm right there with you on all those thoughts. I was actually on the Bucs last weekend. Brutal beat as that kicker missed the kick and went to overtime. Totally. Russell Wilson, MVP caliber season. Nothing bad to say about him. But as you brought up, I still think the Seahawks are a sell team. That defense, you mentioned the DVOA, they're giving up 380 yards per game. And in an earlier game, too, the turnover luck. They're a +7, +8 right now, I think, in turnover differential. That could even out. I do like the San Francisco team. I think they got something to prove as well. Monday night, I definitely love getting them at 6, 6.5, anything under a touchdown. I think they come out and steamroll this Seahawks team. I'm on the Niners this week for sure.
So one thing I want to point out, you mentioned turnover differential, and that can be a key indicator. One, is a team good at forcing turnovers? Or two, is that an element of luck that can regress there? Sort of, can you give us a little insight into your thoughts on turnover differential?
There is obviously a good defense is going to create more turnovers. They're skilled at that. That makes a lot of sense. But you saw it with the Patriots last week as well. Their turnover differential is number one. They were getting where they have a strip sack. That ball bounces right up into that lineman's hands. And he runs it back for a touchdown. That's happened. I think they had a punt block as well. There's a little bit of luck and a little bit of skill that goes into it. You think things would go back to the mean, though. The differential would go back to a normal standard rate. So you got to look at it. Do you think that turnover was luck or was that turnover skill? I think the Seahawks, a lot of their turnovers this year, it's not because their defense is playing that great. It's because there's a lot of luck involved, and I would expect that to regress.
And I love the way that you framed that because I think it's an important thing to always remember. What is the most likely thing to happen? What is the regression to the mean? It's very easy for us to fall in love with the narratives that we see today or last week. But if you always at least double check yourself and say, hey, what is the most likely regression to the mean that's going to happen? It at least gives you a clear head of which that you can evaluate things by. With that in mind, we're going to have a clear head when we talk about uncomfortable bets, the uncomfortable bets of the week. And I'll actually give you the floor first.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I'm going with, I've seen you tweeting about them. The Falcons on the road, Rob. I know you're not going to love that, but that's what's going to make me uncomfortable. Both teams are coming off a bye. I love backing teams when they're coming off a bye, but both teams are. So it's not an edge here. Falcons are 0-4 on the road. However, this game is in a dome, just like they play at in home. Divisional rival in the Saints, who might be one of the best teams in the NFL. However, these two teams always play each other tough. From what I've read, the players haven't really quit on Quinn quite yet. I know he might be one of the first coaches fired, but I think they come out and keep this one close. They play with some pride. They've had a ton of defensive woes. But give me Quinn 2 weeks to prepare for this Saints team. Keep it within two touchdowns. It's very uncomfortable backing the horrible Falcons, but that's what I'd probably look at this week.
It's an interesting game because I actually considered that for my 6-point teaser on both ends, teasing the Saints down to 7 or the Falcons up to 19, especially if Matt Ryan's playing quarterback. I see what you're going with there because the number just seems high for a division matchup that imagine the look ahead line versus where that thing is right now.
It's probably a full touchdown over. Matt Ryan, I'm hopeful he'll play, but that line just seems a little bit too big, but it is always uncomfortable backing terrible teams like the Falcons.
And speaking of terrible teams, my uncomfortable bet of the week, Colts taking on Miami, Dolphins plus 10. And here's the thing, the Dolphins 4-4 against the spread on the season. So perception, horrible, horrible, horrible. But if we've looked, they played well against Buffalo and then Pittsburgh, and then they beat the Jets right there. By no means is this a ringing endorsement for them. But as we've seen with Fitzmagic, he can keep it close. And everything you continue to hear is this is not a team that has given up. It's just a team that is devoid of talent compared to the rest of the NFL. And with Jacoby Brissett, is he going to play or not? Nonetheless, he is going to be a little bit dinged up. So does this mean the Colts try and rely on the run game a little bit more, slow this game down? Give me 10 points with the Dolphins, as uncomfortable as that is.
I like it. The Dolphins, sneaky good cover team. They've made some money for people this year. Not a bad pick at all.
All right, let's go to pick a loser, where our goal is to pick a losing bet. That's right. That way we can help train our minds to think differently. And a team that has not helped people at all win money, the Cleveland Browns, 2-6 against the spread on the season, one of the worst in the NFL. They're at home taking on the Bills. And get this, the Browns are 3-point favorites again. So Vegas says this is a toss-up game. Bills 5-3 against the spread on the season. I get why people don't believe in this Bills team and their offense, but I like the Bills with Devin Singletary offensively, and I like the Bills defense. So I will choose the Cleveland Browns -3 because there's still the opportunity every single week for this to implode like we saw with the Falcons previously. So the Browns are my losing bet.
Gotcha. I hate to do this to you, Rob. I really do. I know you're a Steelers fan, But my pick a loser is going to be your Pittsburgh Steelers, sadly. It seems very good, too good to be true almost, getting over a field goal with Pittsburgh at home. The Rams are coming off a bye, though. It's a good spot. Give me Sean McVay 2 weeks to prepare for Mason Rudolph. It's also a late afternoon kickoff in Pittsburgh, so I don't really worry about the West Coast team going east, the early start, as much. Your Steelers, they probably should have lost to those Colts last week. The Hoyer-led Colts. Give me the Steelers would be the bet that pick a loser. I'm sorry, Rob. I had to do it to you.
It's okay, because I can be very pragmatic about them. And the Steelers offense hasn't been there. It's very uncomfortable to watch them. I'm extremely optimistic about the Steelers defense. If anything, that would be the thing that I would be most concerned about with this bet, because they're, as we said, they're forcing a ton of turnovers in a way, because they've got a very aggressive defensive line that's putting pressure there. But I have not been impressed with Mason Rudolph or this offense. There's nothing explosive about it. It's very much got training wheels on it. So I get you there. My expectations for the Steelers have changed. And I guess I would just be hoping for the best on my end.
Okay, here we go. I'll take it.
All right. And let's get to our 6-point teaser for the week. And I'm going back to against a team that I had last week, Bucks -4.5, taking on the Cardinals. I'm taking the Cardinals, teasing them up to 10.5. And the reason for this is the same reason why I bet against the Bucks last week, is their degree of variability. You have no idea what in the world to expect. Is it good Jameis or is bad Jameis? And last week, I think everyone's like, oh, welcome to the Bucks. They're good again. For the Cardinals, I'm going to tease them up to 10.5, getting a little extra time there as well. And I actually had a hard time with the second one. And I actually feel very uncomfortable with this bet. But I actually was on this team last week. Bears -2.5, taking on the Lions. I teased the Bears against the Eagles, and it was a complete miracle that they backdoored that. But I'm going to tease the Bears up to 3.5 at home, because something inside of me just says the Bears aren't this bad. And even though I like everything that I'm seeing just doesn't make sense with their offense. But last 2 weeks, David Montgomery has gotten more involved. I like that. And I still remember the game against the Vikings when everyone's like, all right, Bears, here we go. They're the team to win the division. And since then, it's just been complete terrible. So for me, I believe there could be some regression back to the mean, even if that's just on complete blind faith. So give me Cardinals up to 10.5, Bears up to 3.5.
I like it. I'm going to say I'm going with two home dogs, getting up through some key numbers, starting with the ugly Jets, but you can tease them. You'll get up to 8.5, which I like. The Giants defense, I think Darnold will be just fine against that Giants defense. It's a robbery game. I like them to keep it close. Lose by a touchdown, that's fine with me. And then I'll go with the Raiders, too, on Thursday night, get them up to a touchdown, maybe even 7.5. The Lions 1.5-1, depending on which book you have. But I like betting home teams on Thursday night football on the short rest where the visiting team has to come in, get a full touchdown. I like you got through those key numbers of 3.5, 10. I'm getting through the key numbers of the touchdown. But you got to do with teasers. I like them all.
How uncomfortable do you feel about laying anything with the Jets?
I have more faith in Darnold than I guess the most. But I do think they're going to run the ball. They need to hand the ball off to Le'Veon and drain that clock and then give Darnold some play action, open things up. I have a little bit more faith in Darnold than most, especially at home. That Giants secondary even made Dak look really good on Monday night. I think he'll be just fine.
I'm with you on that. A few weeks ago, I liked Sam Darnold because of the easy schedule that was coming up, and he has not exactly lived up to what I was hoping for, but I do like your logic. So to quickly recap, my uncomfortable bet, I'm on the Dolphins +10. My pick a loser, Browns -3. And my 6-point teaser, Cardinals +10.5, Bears +3.5. What about you?
Uncomfortable bet right now, Falcons +13. Pick a loser, Steelers +3.5. And then the teaser, Jets +8.5, Raiders +7.
Sean, where can everybody connect with you?
On Twitter, at DaRealPapaBear, DaRealPapaBear. Post free plays all the time. Hopefully engage me. I'm always there to give advice as well.
And I want to hear from you. pick a loser, send in a Big Mick Moneyline parlay or a 6-point teaser, anything that we did on this show, we want to hear from you because we will show you love. You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And every week I say that the biggest thing you can do to help us out is subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, because when you do, we will show you some love. And I got to give a shout out to DJ Ariel NYC. Gave us 5 stars and said, great show. Keeps me on edge and wanting more of the show every week. Wish the show was longer or more days in the week. My favorite sports podcast. DJ Ariel NYC, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for that feedback. Also, make sure to check into Bet America. When you place a bet of $5 or more, you'll receive $20 in free bets. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. What's wrong with it? The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.